Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast, talking all things fantasy footy draft. I'm Doss, and on the show today, we'll be discussing all the things we noticed from Round 3 AFL action. We'll be checking out the best waiver options out there, give you some captain risky options as well for the upcoming round, and we'll reveal our trade of the week. We'll get to some social media questions later on as well. On the show this week, back after a Round 2 rest, unlike his favourite player, Bailey Williams, it is Stevie Fizz. Welcome.
G'day, Doss. G'day, listeners. And I know some of the people be off on Monday morning riding to work. But if you're a school kid, you'll be undoubtedly enjoying the school holidays, and no one got fired up more for the school holidays than Jakey Stringer on Friday night. Get around him. He knows when the kids need a bit of fire in the belly, and he'll be doing the rounds, no doubt, after that big performance. So it's great to see.
Well, we will not touch on that, but we've got also on board this week is Jono. G'day, mate. How's things?
Good, thanks, Doss. G'day, listeners. Been a pretty shit weekend in terms of fantasy. We've seen injuries and Dusty doing the fisticuffs behind the play, so going to have some big impact in terms of fantasy again the next couple of weeks, you'd imagine.
Yeah, for sure. And Cam is also in the house. What's up, Cam?
Yeah, not much. And I mean, I think with the Dusty thing, it's less about the fisticuffs and more about the cokey snuffs.
Who gives a shit about that? That'll it's more do. About the elbow 50 metres behind play that's going to be looked at.
Yeah. Mm.
All right, well, let's get to our round review and what we noticed from round three, starting with the Thursday night Crows-Cats game at the Adelaide Oval, Steve.
Yeah, and the first thing that sticks out to me is defenders against Adelaide are going to be handy if you're looking for someone in terms of a week-to-week play. In fact, I think we're starting to notice some of the positions, and it's probably defenders more than anything. The forwards are probably yet to weed themselves out because it's the season's been a bit up and down, been some upsets. But defenders against Adelaide, they look pretty good to me. Been good the first 3 weeks. And let's consider how actually good the Crows midfield has been in terms of winning the ball and even their movement off the half back line. But their forward 50 entries are just terrible. Like, I'm watching them every week just butcher the ball going forward. You know, Tex has been out of form. Jenkins isn't exactly a pack crasher. So there's someone I'm looking to use a defender against. And I thought on the other side, speaking of defenders, Lachie Henderson being back for Geelong, I think it makes them quite versatile and quite dangerous off the half back line. We saw him sit behind the ball. We saw Harry Taylor go behind the ball. We saw Blixar sit behind the ball. And all these guys are really good at controlling the play and peeling off, especially when, you know, a team like Adelaide's just banging it in ad nauseum with no regard for where it goes. And I really think we'll talk about Harry Taylor when we get to the waiver wire. I think he's a fantastic pickup. He can just sneak forward with the best of them and hit the scoreboard as well. So certainly thought there were some really interesting things from the defensive side in that match.
Yeah, definitely interesting point. Hey, are you Brad Crouch now from this game as well? This has been an astonishing start to the season. And do you think where people drafted him in the end, because he did rise up a fair bit from the JLT form, they've still grabbed themselves a huge bargain. Can this scoring just bursts continue, because he just looks amazing out there at the moment?
Yeah, I've actually got Crouch in my home league, so I've no doubt watched him very closely, and he looks great. Like, he really does. I think there's reason for optimism that it only continues. We've got to remember how much footy this guy's actually missed, and I think it got pointed out by one of the Herald Sun guys that he has tailed away a little bit in the last quarter. So as he builds his match fitness, I don't see why it can't continue. And I think that's the thing, is if he can stay fit enough to build his match fitness, because as we know, that's the big issue with Brad Crouch, because he's always been a good scorer when he's been on the park.
Yeah, and Rory Sloane as well has just been exploding out of the blocks. Is the tag coming that's going to wreck everyone's season there? Are we going to see what we've seen in the past, these huge scores and then a tag come?
I mean, probably, but I think it's really funny, because I think when we're playing draft, especially more so than the salary cap, we're so focused on the guys who are going to get tagged. And I look at Adelaide's midfield, and theoretically, you could tag Brad Crouch, you could tag Matt Crouch, you could tag Rory Sloan. It's the same with the GWS, who, oh, well, I won't take Kelly because he'll get tagged. Well, what happened 2 weeks ago? Cornelio just got tagged into a ball of dust. When you're looking at these big midfields, especially like, say, Collingwood, well, they shifted the tag to Pendlebury in the second half and he went to water. So when you got these, you know, really stud midfields, it's going to depend on who the opposition want to shut down. And then, you know, depending on the flow of the game. So I think Rory Sloan was a really savvy draft pick. I think he was a almost automatic salary cap pick for those playing in those formats. But if you're in a draft league, look, players have bad scores. Like, that's the nature of the game. That's why we love a guy like Titch, because he scores 95 every single week at least. So, but when we're talking about those M2s and beyond, they're going to have big games and they're going to have bad games, and that's just the variance of the beast, unfortunately.
Yeah. And Cam, your injury report comes out pretty soon, but owners sweating on Tim Kelly, are they safe, do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll be safe. There's probably a little bit more into it than Chris Scott was letting on, but he should be right next week.
All right, well, it was a bottom-of-the-table clash between Melbourne and Essendon, Jono. What did you notice from that one on Friday night?
Well, if you're playing against Melbourne, stream your forwards, because they just kick goals for shits and giggles. We saw Sean McKernan kick a bag, Fantasia, Tippin Woody, Stringer. They all kicked three or four goals each. So I'd be streaming forwards against Melbourne, especially with Stephen May and Jake Lever still out. It just looked like they had no defensive structure whatsoever. It's just... We've seen the inside 50s against Melbourne. The ball goes in, they kick a goal or get a score. So until they fix that up, I'd be streaming my forwards against Melbourne.
Yeah, I think I even saw a stat the other day. Melbourne is just a completely different side when Jordan Lewis is out, believe it or not. We know this year with the runners off the field, like that on-field leadership is going to be more of an issue. And we'll talk about another team who I think is struggling from that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, thanks for taking my point there, Steve, but that's okay.
What do you mean? That was the same point.
I was moving on to finish that point, but I was going to let you talk, but that's fine. But yeah, it was something like there's 0-7 without Lewis and 7-8 or something, or they're 50% with Lewis in. Mm. And it was actually good to see that the Bombers played their midfielders in the midfield, not Dyson Heppel behind the ball or anything like that. So if you're a Heppel owner, take solace that he will be playing midfield from now on. And that's all I really noticed, that, yeah, it was just a bloodbath, really.
Yeah, and in a keeper league, if you had Darcy Parrish and drop into the wire and then watch him kick a clutch goal and pump out a 95, would you be pretty worried there, Jono?
No, because you'd probably pick him up, because he's just going to be up and down, up and down. You would think he will do that. He will pump out the big scores, but he will drop in that 30 or 40 until he's built that tank.
But it was also against the easiest team in the league to score against across the first three rounds and JLT, so I'm not too worried if you've dropped him.
Righto, Cam. Well, Statesman's teary tissues would have been used for their regular purpose on Saturday as the blonde bombshell was back in the Carlton-Sydney game, Cam.
Yeah. I think the thing that really interested me the most out of that game is that just when you thought speculatives like Mills and Clark would be soaking up that midfield time left vacant by Hanners, two people who historically have been role players at the club have been taking that time. And I'm talking about the generic henchman Zach Jones and Tom Papley. They're both putting together extremely strong years, with the henchman going at 91 average and the Paps going at 84. And to be fair, there are many leagues where these guys would not have been drafted and would have been picked up after the first week. They could, you know, Zach Jones at the moment is looking like a, you know, top 10 defender.
Yeah, I guess so. It's he had a pretty slow start, did he not? But
nah,
in terms of he hasn't had a big score yet, has he?
He's gone 90s.
90s every week.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, okay.
But it was funny with Heaney, he actually had the 60 mid 40 forward split. So maybe our horse is listening to fantasy podcasts out there and getting him in the midfield.
I think the scary thing with Heaney, though, is that he doesn't seem to care where he plays. So, like, after the match, he was interviewed, and the first question was, oh, you enjoyed a bit more mid time today? And he goes, yeah, you know, I'll just play wherever Horse wants me to play. And it's like, no, just say that you want the mid time. That's where you're best. That's where we want you. Stop floating.
Stato won't be happy with that statement.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, some huge bags, giant fantasy numbers, and a cheeky flipping the bird in the GWS Richmond game, Jono.
Yeah, well, what is it? What's the expression? No rants, no tigers, but Jesus Christ. No rants, Cochin, Martin, and Riewoldt. Looks like that's going to happen for the first time in God knows how long with Dusty. Probably going to be suspended and Riewoldt. Cochin with a hamstring, but it was all about the Lockie Whitfield show for me. I was watching him pretty close in this game, and he was just playing pure mid the whole game. There was nothing really out of defense. Stop smiling, Steve. Stop smiling. Please, it pisses me off. But it looks like he's playing that Dylan Shield role from last year. He's just going to be that elite runner through that midfield. He's going to rack up possession ad nauseum. He might even average 120 for the rest of the year. Who the hell knows? But if you've got Lockie Whitfield, enjoy his last year as a defender because he will not be getting it next year.
Is he potentially the best midfielder in the comp at the moment? I think he's looked outstanding.
Paddy Cripps says hello, but yeah, okay.
But as far as, like, you know, someone who's going to benefit from the new rules, he looks amazing.
Paddy Cripps still says hello. Have you watched any Carlton? Carlton, he just gets so much time and space. Like, Jesus Christ, what games are you watching, Kim? No, but seriously, also it was the forwards against the Tigers. If they are just a shit show in defence at the moment, Richmond, but they're playing Port Adelaide, so I'll be looking for Port Adelaide forwards, especially next week, this week coming up. So, and I tipped Himmelberg to be the beneficiary this week in my late week pickups, but I forgot about Jeremy Finlayson, who bobbed up for 5 goals, but Himmelberg still a nice Supercoach score.
All right, and just noticing from that game, the complete opposite of the spectrum for the kick-to-handball ratio, Shane Mumford there, 0 kicks, 14 handballs, and old reliable Heath Short, 17 kicks, 0 handballs in that game there as well. Hey, for keeper leagues now, I didn't get to watch this game, Jono. Did you have a nice cheeky look there at Sydney Stack? Put up awesome numbers in his first game there. What did he look like?
Yeah, he looked really good down back. Took a lot of marks. First game, probably a bit of nervous. Turned the ball over a bit, but he will be in my mentions for waiver wire pickups because Richmond are pretty depleted down back, and he actually showed a bit of ticker. Can take some marks and tackles and kick the ball. So perfect fantasy score build right there.
One other thing from that game as well was the Matt DeBoer tag. We've now seen it twice in a row. Dusty's kept a 68 in that one, and Elliot Yeo the week before, 73. Is he one to be maybe wary of during the GWS matchups?
It is, but also could go the other way. He could be that streamer. If he is playing midfield, he's around the ball. So we know he has scored well in the past, so I'd be looking at him potentially. I'm not too sure who they've got this week, but I think they've got Geelong off the top of my head, but who knows? Who does he go to? Who does he go to in that midfield if it is Geelong?
Mm, yeah, good question. Well, Brisbane got the Chockies over Port in a close one. Rocky copped a KO. A rookie kicked 5 snags and Boak and Lockie Neal remain hot. Cam, what did you see?
Yeah, it's more about the Statesman, actually. I think the Statesman works in mysterious ways. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Draft Doctor's own grandfather Time wrote off Lockie Neal for the year, suggesting he's potentially M3 at best. But who would have known that this was all some sort of a risky and elaborate ploy to get him back on track? Since then, he's looking like justifying our collective high rankings, to be honest. We all put him sort of up in the top 5, 6, 7 of our rankings, and he looks amazing. And, you know, side note, the Lions are real this season. They look really, really good. Their midfield is competitive. Their forward, like Eric Hipwood, actually looked like a forward, like an AFL player even, you know, not just a NEFL player. I still think they're a smoky for the finals this year.
Yeah, Lockie Neal's been otherworldly in Supercoach as well, like 177 in that game, and he was huge the week before as well, I recall. Like he's been immense in both sort of formats there. Yeah, so that's what you noticed from that game, Cam. Also, it was nice to see Alex Witherden ton up as well for the first time this year for drafters that went kind of pretty early there. All right, the reigning premiers smashed your Pies yet again, Steve, but what did you notice from that game?
I'm pretty sure everyone knows I'm actually a lifelong Suns fan, Doss, so I'm not too sure what the fuck you're talking about there. Look, I don't have a heap of takeaways from this game other than I'm really cagey about playing anyone versus West Coast because their defense just shuts everyone down. The forwards, you know, can't score on them. The midfield, the West Coast midfield, super underrated. Let's be honest. You know, everyone wants to talk about, say, the Pies midfield, but you've got Elliot Yeo, Luke Shuey, Sheed Island apparently is just the better version of Dane Beams. Mark Hutchings is shutting down anyone who wants. Yes, Jono?
I was just going to say, what the hell's going on with Elliot Yeo? I didn't see much of this game, but just stats-wise, it seemed like he wasn't getting a lot of the pill. Is he playing mid or a different role, or what's going on there?
Well, he gave away 7 frees the week before, which doesn't help your scoring. I think it's just other guys bobbing up. It's just that simple. Yeah. Like, there's not, like, you know, especially against Collingwood, like, and this is the other point. I think I'm cagey playing against the guys against Collingwood as well. They're playing this ultra ball control style, which just leads to lower fantasy scores than in the other side. The guys just don't get the ball. But yeah, cagey about playing anyone against West Coast. But on the other side, I'm cagey about playing guys against Collingwood with the ball control style I mentioned. But I think defenders against Collingwood are still a thing. They're still pumping the ball inside 50. They're still not super efficient at it. In this game, you had guys like, you know, Shepherd and Hearn and all that sort of thing do the business. And even the week before against Richmond, I know they didn't really score, but the Brandon Ellis and there was a couple of defenders bob up and still had reasonable games. So I still think that's a thing, but I'm really, really trying to avoid, you know, captaining or streaming a player against Collingwood.
Hey, with Andrew Gaff, just obviously his first game back there and pretty solid score, 35 disposals and 97 fantasy, 103 super coach, and that was including giving away 4 frees. You know, I know you were a little bit, I think it was you, Steve, and even Statesman, that were a little bit lower on Gaff heading into the draft season. With the success so far of a Lockie Whitfield type who gets the marks on the outside, as well as being able to do a bit on the inside, and even someone like Brad Hill who's suddenly exploded, and, you know, who knows if that's going to continue, but, you know, seeing Gaff come back and get the 35 and that's his first game in ages, do you think maybe he's actually someone that could retain such a, you know, lofty 110 average if when he starts to sort of get into it?
Yeah, of course. And I got no beef with that. The whole reason I ranked him low was because he was missing 2 weeks. Like, I don't want to give up 2 matches. I don't. And those are 2 known matches. I think that's crazy. But yeah, look, he could be fantastic and be fine. And if you got him at the back of the second or, you know, in the third round because there was people who didn't want to miss out on those games, then you're obviously doing pretty well.
And like John is saying with the Elliot Yeo stats sort of taking a little tumble, I think he did cop a tag last week. That's what I was saying from DeBoer, I think, tagged him last week. But do you think with this emergence of Sheed sort of getting a few more disposals, even with everyone in the side, do you think maybe when if you're trying to buy low on Elliot Yeo to average sort of 100, you know, big 108 or something like he did last year, is that sort of fool's gold thinking that he's going to go that well? Like, should you definitely lower your expectations in that case?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Like, he really relies on the contested ball to build his score and all those other nice things. It's just, we look at these, and again, looking at these superstar midfields, it's you just don't see guys average massive across the board. And West Coast are probably a little bit different in the fact that, you know, like, you could argue that Shuey's not their best midfield. I kind of think he is, but he doesn't really average massive. Like, that's like last year was the first time Gaff has averaged massive. We're seeing the emergence of Sheed. So these guys, they'll take it in turns. They'll have their runs. I mean, even Redden we saw last year when Gaff was out, was just going ham. Like, it's just going to happen. They're going to have these runs. And especially when in a team like that who is playing a tagger, because that's one of the center square roles that's gone.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, the Draft Doctor's favourite team, the Gold Coast Suns, got a big win over your former favourite team, the Bulldogs. Jono, what did you notice in that one?
Well, Gold Coast are my second favourite team, but Doggies will still always be number one. No, well, the Doggies are 2018 were back, they were just absolutely horrible, butchering it left, right, and centre, bombing it inside 50 ad nauseum, with a bloke with the likes of Sam Collins and all the other defenders just intercept marking and rebounding. But it's Peter Wright that really caught my eye. Steve and I were actually pretty hot on him at the start of the year because his first 4 or 5 weeks were really fantasy friendly for him, but the scores actually just haven't been there. Like, especially today against the Bulldogs, he was started off forward, took a nice mark, missed the first shot on goal, but he's taking ruck rolls, he's playing behind the ball, he's playing that good personality Tom Lynch role, but the scores just haven't been there. So I'm still pretty happy with him. Like, I actually own him in our home league, and I'm going to keep on with him because I think maybe when the game slows down a little bit and there's going to be a lot more kick mark, so there's going to be more possession for him. So I'm hanging in there, but it's Peter Wright. He's an interesting one, and I'm happy to hold him.
Play Carlton this week.
Yeah.
It's Carlton, isn't it? Beautiful. And Jared Witts, 52 hitouts and can't get a Supercoach ton. That's bullshit.
Hey, with Tim English, so he had 15 hitouts in this one. Shacky only had one, so they had 16 as a team. And then you got Witts with 52, Peter Wright with 19. We know that playing sort of rucks against the Doggies is a good thing, but surely they're... Do you think they're going to change this up? Do you think someone like the... I think they've got Jordan Sweet or maybe the Trengove. Do you think something happens there? And should Tim English, people that sort of punted rucks and went with Tim English, do you think they should try and sort of find another option now? Or do you reckon they're just going to keep persisting with him?
Look, Tim English is fine. He's, what, 21, yeah. 20 years old, something like that. Still learning his craft. He's bulked up this season. But when you compared him against Jared Witts today, it's like, you know, English was half the width of him, yeah, basically. So it's going to take time. But the good thing about English is he's very agile around the ground. He plays as an extra midfielder. He's good at the ground ball, can pick it up, continue on. So I'm pretty happy with English to stay in that team. And I don't think Luke Beveridge is going to get rid of him. And he broke even a lot of contests today. So
oh yeah, no, he was good for sure. It's just on the stat sheet, you know, the hit out numbers are just crazily sort of.
I think he's going to be one of those ruckmen until he gets into his prime that, yeah, he's not going to get those hit-outs, but he will find possession around the ground, and he is one of those players that can go forward, take a contested mark, and kick the goal as well. So,
yeah.
He's a ruckman.
I think that's kind of why a few of us liked him in the preseason.
Yeah.
Steve, what did you notice in the Hawks-North game?
Yeah, and this is the point I was going to get back to that we sort of talked about with Jono, is we saw it last year with Port, when you bring in a raft of new recruits from other clubs, it often takes a while to gel, and we're seeing that, I think, with North. They've obviously brought in so many players, and I really think without the runners, it's really hard for these guys to all get on the same page, which is really unusual because we've seen North be such a really well-drilled team before. I don't think they were ever a superstar-laden team, but they just always seem to play their role really well and knew what to do, but this year it just hasn't clicked, and I'm really happy about playing forwards against North right now. It's just a winning recipe. Got old man Thompson back there. Robbie Tarrant, we know he's a solid player, but their small defenders are not super good, and I'd be pretty happy rolling against those sort of types against them. And Ricky Henderson, he's just on fire, man. Is he like... What is coming on? Yeah. If you've picked him up, congratulations, because he is one of the pickups of the year. Just been absolutely on fire, just soaking up all that Tom Mitchell outside ball whilst Jager's doing the thing on the inside. So really good to see. And I just wanted to say one thing about Dream Team streaming scores as a whole. I think we might need to lower our expectations about what we're getting. I think it was pretty easy last year to sort of plug away and get an 80-85 most weeks, defence or forward. This year, I think you're going to have some big misses. I really think so. Mm. Teams just aren't scoring really well. We had a couple of 1,700 team scores, a couple of just over 1,600s, but so many teams are scoring under 1,600 Dream Team points. I really think we need to consider that streaming is pretty tricky, And maybe those guys like Matty Broadbent, who were I used to scoff at because they'd give you 75, maybe they're not the bad sort of players anymore. Because when you whiff, you're going to get 45.
Certainly will. Certainly will. Hashtag fade Richmond. That's all I say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Jono. Absolutely.
You guys both being super coach nerds out there, does Luke Davies Uniacke just excite you for a future prospect? He looks like a super coach jet. I've just been watching his scores lately, and even in limited time on ground, like even in this game, 66% time on ground, he notched 64 super coach, only the 31 fantasy. He looks like a super coach type of player. Does that get you up and about, Steve and Jono?
No, plays for North.
No, not really. Because Ben Cunnington just come in and just smash his face into the ground and make him eat dirt and don't take my contested ball.
He it's interesting because I thought the same thing about Paul Ahern, and he can't even crack a gig. So,
oh well.
Can Sean Higgins retire?
If you ever want a good laugh, just go onto the North Melbourne fan forums on Facebook and all the chat about Brad Scott and Paul Ahern. Just sit there with a couple of stubbies. Best Friday night you'll ever have.
All right, last but not least, St Kilda and Fremantle. Currently in play, I believe, as we're recording. What did you notice there, Cam?
Yeah, so the main thing here is just to take some time and support your fellow man or woman if they are, like myself, a Seb Ross drafter early in draft. You know, I'm going to be starting a supporters group. I'll be bringing the Nescafe Blend 43 and Arnott's Arrowroot Biscuits, because he's playing an incredibly unfantasy-friendly role at the moment, and he's down on absolutely every stat line since his breakout year. And this game going on right now, he's sitting on about 60 late into the fourth quarter. So you're probably not getting the return that you budgeted for there, but we know with Richardson teams that he could potentially switch that role pretty quickly. And on the back of a loss to Fremantle, that could come next week. So probably hold tight, but also hold each other and make sure everyone is okay. And just another point around Rowan Marshall. He's scoring like a demon at the moment. But just be cautious if you're looking at picking him up for the waiver this week, because his next two matches are against Big Boy, McAvoy and Max Gorn.
Well, I'm just glad you said Nescafe Blend 43, not International Roast, because that would have been a stone cold stunner.
I was close to Makona Dark, but you know that's when we get really into the deep depression. So we'll start with Blend 43.
Aldi Pod Coffee, what, 16, whatever the strongest they've got. Just get into that straight.
Oh my goodness.
So on the back of your Seb Ross support group, the part of the reason he's scoring so poorly in this one, though, is because Reece Conker has now moved into a tagging role. That kind of looks like it will affect him positively at the moment. He's sitting at 98 in only 72% time on ground as well. Is that something you're looking at there, Cam, as a potential? Is he'd be a waiver option, wouldn't he? If we're probably getting to that a bit later, but Reece, he wouldn't be owned by everyone.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm certainly not touching Reece Conker with a 10-foot pole. And to be honest, he's one game away from a season-ending injury every game. So you might be able to pick him up for a streamer if you're really struggling for someone that week, but I just wouldn't go near him. I don't trust him.
All righty. Well, we were saying the same thing about Brad Crouch, you know, season-ending injury every week. So pick him up. Pick him up, folks. All right, Cam, so that's the round review there. Any iTunes reviews this week?
Yeah, we've just got the one, and I guess that disappoints me a little bit, Dossie, that you're not really, you know, drumming up the reviews anymore. Like, we had a really good spark in the preseason, and now you've just sort of dropped the ball. So maybe you could just...
Yeah, there's a reason for that, Cam.
Yeah.
He's busy writing a book.
Oh, he's got to write the book. All right, can't do two things at once. Oh, man. So just the one this week from a lad with a great name, Cameron Maguire. I like this. Very nice, very cool, very swag, good.
Did you write that drunk?
It does sound like something I'd write drunk, but it also sounds like something I'd write sober. So
it's, yeah, the word swag is the giveaway. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It? The town.
So, okay. Dos,
you're disappointed in me.
Baby Fizz likes unicorns. Just throwing that out there, buddy. Just if you need some inspiration, loves a good unicorn story.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Steve. Well, seeing as you are disappointed disappointed in my efforts. Why don't we try and get these nailed down? We were going to say set some targets. I think we need the targets for 200 set, and then we ask it out to the listeners. So the 200, these is long-term goals, of course. So I think we set the target at 200 that Cam will be doing a live shoey filled with Smirnoff ice on camera if we get to 200.
Is that 200 ratings or 200 reviews?
That is ratings slash reviews, Steve. Slash reviews.
Well, that doesn't count as a combined. It's not a plus because we're probably already there.
Yeah, we're already over there.
You're cheeky bugger.
Just ratings. Just ratings. Gee. You guys are so technical. All right, well, yep. That's the 200. What are we going for? We got to throw it out to the listeners. Throw us some ideas on the socials for the 250 or the 225, whatever. We want to get that 200 first, though, so keep chucking them up there.
Look, Doss, final. I will be in Adelaide in 7 weeks. We need you to have the book done by then so you can actually read it to Baby Fizz in the flesh.
Oh, no.
She'll be there.
I don't think I'll be able to do it in time unless it's dodgy.
I only expect dodgy.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. All right, it's time to hit the waiver wire and look at our top 5 waiver pickups. The guideline we're going to use here is 65% ownership or less on Ultimate Footy. Remember, if you're in a shallower league, there's likely some better options out there. And also keep checking out who people are dropping. They might just be frustrated and drop a bit of gold on your lap. All right, who are your favorite waiver wire pickups this week? Jono?
Yeah, pretty thin for me this week. Look, if you can find a Sydney forward, Sam Reid's there at 13%, playing the Demons this weekend, so I'll be looking at that. You've got Port Adelaide forwards as well as a stream option, not so much as a waiver wire pickup. I wouldn't be spending those picks. I mean, you've got guys like Rosie, I think he's like 66, 67%, kick 5 snags on the weekend. My number one would be Sydney Stack. He looked really good on the weekend. 14% ownership, just the one game. His first game of the weekend. 70% time on ground for an 89 AFL fantasy score and Tunda for Supercoach as well with 108. So I'd be looking at Sydney Stack if you need a defender. Also for Supercoach, you've got Sam Collins playing Carlton. A lot of intercept marks off the opposition is worth points. So he only had about 15 to 16 disposals against the Bulldogs, but took 6 marks and scored an 80. So I'm pretty confident with that. If he can do that against the Bulldogs, he should ton up against the Blues as well. And I'm looking at Sam Wiedemann as well. 18%. I'm just throwing darts here because someone in that Melbourne with Tommy McDonald going down with an ankle injury, maybe Cam can enlighten us more how long he might be out for. But yeah, Sam Wiedemann will be the next in line there. He's at 18% as well. But that's all I've got.
And just before we get to yours, Cam, I'm pretty pissed off because Jack Nunes has just gone absolute garbage time and added about plus 20 in that span that Jono was speaking. So that's a load of shit. Off to you, Cam. Who are your pickups?
And has he gone past the 83 mark? I can't see the scores.
You bloody well can see the scores, and he's on 86, with still time remaining.
I actually don't have any more waiver pickups. I think that old mate from Richmond is the best pickup of the week, to be honest. And there's, you know, as I was saying with Rowan Marshall, he'd be one that I'd look at, but I'd be very nervous about for the next two matchups. So it's a barren wasteland out there at the moment.
Yeah.
And what about...
Okay, well, I'll throw in a bit of quality. Harry Taylor, 27% owned. To me, he's the top pickup. One who's 68% ownership, but I expect that will drop because he played like a donkey on the weekend, and that's Tex Walker. The Crows next month is actually pretty fantasy-friendly considering who they're playing. It's like just North and guys like, and teams like that, some lower-end teams. So they're pretty happy about Tex Walker. I actually picked him up last week, sat him on the bench this week with that month ahead in mind. Jeremy Finlayson, 30% owned. Listed as a defender. He's played forward the last 2 weeks. They actually tried to play him forward the first week until he had to go back. But he scored well 2 weeks ago without kicking a goal, which I found really exciting. This week, obviously, kicked the 5 goals. Is going to be in everyone's eyes. Although it kind of went under the radar with Jeremy Cameron kicking 7. Sort of no one really mentioned Finlayson just going full ham. Has got Geelong this week, I think Jono mentioned there. But after that, it's not a bad little run for GWS, and I certainly expect them to be one of the better teams, so I don't mind him. If you're in a position change league, I think Jackson Thurlow is worth a stab. He's listed as a midfielder, but he will pick up defensive status at some point, and with Jared McVeigh seemingly gone back to the grave, I certainly think Jackson Thurlow can keep his position. We know he takes a good chunk of the kick-ins at Sydney, so we've seen him be on the fringe of fantasy relevant before, but he's got my eye. A couple of Richmond defenders, Nick the Prick, Vlosten, 60% ownership, Jono's favourite, with the entire Richmond defence basically dead at this point in time. He's interesting. Oleg Markov, only 4% owned. Yeah, Jaden Short. We didn't even mention Jaden Short injured. Like, no, pretty bad.
Looked pretty bad, but only short term.
And
only Jaden Short.
Crickets.
Come on,
come crickets. On.
See yourself out, please.
And man with one of the worst names I've ever seen, Taylan Duman. From Fremantle. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. I don't fucking care. 16% ownership, but he put together some good scores last year. Damn it. And he got back into the team this week, so I'm at least interested. But I probably wouldn't spend a pick on him. But Taylor Walker and Finlayson, I'm pretty surprised you guys didn't have them. I thought they were really pretty strong picks, to be honest.
I think I mentioned Harry Taylor a week or two ago. It might have been late week pickup, so probably why I didn't mention him and thought his ownership would have gone up.
Probably didn't mention Jeremy Finlayson either, because Dossie picked him up off our waiver wire last week, because he's a... genius drafter. All right, well, Reece Conker is mine, and so is Adam Chera. They're both actually under the 65%, and they're both tonning up big in this game. They've got a pretty gross schedule, admittedly, coming up. But, I mean, Adam Chera's breakout was sort of predicted before the season. And if Reece Conker does get the role on the inside, I mean, he's racking up, you know, 27 disposals in this one. I know it's against the Saints, albeit, but it's probably worth a punt, either one of those. Probably more like Adam Chera, because he's got the forward status and he's actually playing off a half back, so there is sort of some fantasy friendly role there potentially for him. Alrighty, I have three captain risky options this week, so I'll try and get them through them pretty quickly. But so here, these are the captain options outside the obvious McRae's, Grundy's, etc., because not every team has these players, obviously, or not every team had a high pick in the draft. Alright, here we go. Braden Fairini, it was a pretty obvious one here in the captain risky. So 114, 83, and 110 so far this season. Oh, it's been a wonderful start to the season. I was completely right, wasn't I, guys? Up against Carlton this week, who gave up 5 tons, wait, including 4 120-plus scores against Sydney on the weekend. Yes, Steve?
Weren't you touting George Hall and Smith all preseason as this big fantasy... Oh, no, wait, that was Cam. Cam, you're wrong.
Oh, okay. But I am right for a lot of others, and they're the ones that I've actually put cartons on.
Yeah, let's not mention about
on.
Those. I'll just continue now. The week before, Carlton gave up big scores to Boak, Ebert, Rocky, and even allowed a ton from DBJ and Stevie Motlop. So he averages 93 at Metricon, and he's risky nonetheless, though. But he had 109 against Carlton in 2017 and only 70s in his last couple of outings. So that's highly out of character for Braden Fiorini. So he's my first option. Now, Josh Kennedy, JPK. So he's averaging 112 for the season so far, and he's had 120 and 121 in his last two games. But this isn't just a knee-jerk reaction from the start of his season. He's versing Melbourne at the SCG. So averages 101 at the SCG and 104 versus the Ds for his career. Now, Melbourne have been giving up some big numbers to opposition midfielders. So Rockliffe and Boak, 166 and 144 respectively in round one. Then it was Dangerfield, Kelly, Duncan and Constable. That's 134, 111, 108, 106 in round two. And then just gone in round three, it was Essendon, and they gave up big 117 to Zarakis, 114 to Heppel, and 109 to Scheel. So I think Kennedy's actually probably the safest of these, potentially these risky picks, so lock him in. And this is my more sort of in the spirit of captain risky pick. So he's been phenomenal this year, and I was saying just before how he's running around sort of like the Lockie Whitfield role at the Giants, but this is Brad Hill for Fremantle. He's been killing it. 113, 129, and I'm not sure what he's going to be finished full-time. He got 93 in this third one, but he did have a little bit of an injury in there. So this is the risky one, though. He is in great form at the moment, but the risky part, his opposition, it's the Derby. He only averages 73.9 versus the Eagles. But since moving to Freo from the Hawks, his scores against them have been 78, 109, and 103. So I think in Hill's form at the moment, he could potentially go pretty big. So anyway, guys, we got some more articles, of course, coming out on the website this week, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Cam, you bring out the injury report every week. We have Sam Porter's, what is it, the trades that he does there?
A dozen deals, sorry.
My mistake. And of course, Jono, which I forgot to mention last week. Jono's late week's pickups, which is everyone's the fan favourites, as well as Statesman skippers. So if you want to get more skippers for your week and from a professional called Statesman, check out the Draft Doctors website. All right, we will be getting to some questions now before we finish off from at the Draft Doctors on social media, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. So there's just one major one here, and it is, what is the status of Cam's cartons? I'm sure you're very willing to get this one out there, Cam. So what is the status so far after round three for all your cartons here?
So let's start with the lower end. The Dom off, I am not doing too well at. So Dom Sheed is crushing Dom Tyson. Ablett, Jono, how's that one going?
It's borderline.
It's
there
not.
There could be a role change in the next 3 weeks, hopefully.
There won't be.
Hopefully.
And then Noons... Dossie, how's that Noons one going?
Yeah, he's going all right so far. Jack Stephen hasn't played this game, so that sort of pushed him up a little bit there. So I'll still give it the time there, Cam.
All right, well, that's a wait and see, but I'm definitely ahead. And Dalhouse Statesman, how's that one going? Well, he's not
what
here to that? Answer.
What so, was that bet again? What was the average?
So 85 plus, I need Dalhouse
Jesus
to go.
Jesus Christ.
And y'all shook your head, and Statesman's going to give me a 6-pack of Pinot.
I hope he sits it in the sun for at least a week or two before he gives it to you.
Well, you know, Tasmanian sun's not that hot anyway, so.
That's true.
That's fucked. I can't
we are coming
Dalhouse.
Into winter.
I cannot fucking believe it.
everyone in the whole fantasy community just said, nah, not going to score. But Cam, no, had to go against...
But you knew what he was going to do. He's doing it, except he's doing it real fucking well.
Exactly right.
Yeah, he's dominating at the moment.
Yeah, Dossie, we just forgot my trade section. It's like my one thing in the show.
All right, well, do you want to just do that then, Steve? Yeah. Your trade of the week.
My trade of the week. I'm giving the people someone they can buy very low. Very, very low. And it is Josh J. Kennedy from the Eagles. He's come back, played two games. But here's the deal. He hasn't scored super well, but he actually played barely any game time the first week. Played it against the Giants, mind you, as well. Played a little bit more in round three. Again, played a good opposition, or at least an on-paper good opposition in Collingwood, my former team. Kicked three goals. He's working his way back from fitness. He will have some bangers throughout the year. They will ease him into the season, and he will no doubt give you some weak winning scores. And I think he's someone who was drafted late-ish, and I think you can pick him up extremely cheap.
Just quickly, what are your thoughts on Luke Parker? He's an interesting trade target as well. Hasn't really set the world on fire at the moment.
I think it depends on your format. I think AFL fantasy coaches will probably be very cagey on Parker because he really let everyone down last year with seemingly good things at his disposal. Big cagey on Parker. He seems to be a bit boom-bust. I know you need a bit of boom-bust in your team, but that's how it is. And look, like I tweeted out during the week, really, there's players who are just going to have poor starts. It's just the natural variance of things. Some of those players are going to be guns. Some of them are going to have poor round threes if we're patient enough. And look, some of the guys I listed as buyers for round two, they had big round threes, but some of them continue to have bad ones, like Cade Simpson, like Seb Ross. These guys are going to be... They'll turn it around at some point. The longer these players go... if we consider the whole player pool of guys who start out poor, that number will thin out of guys who are continuing to have bad scores. They'll eventually turn it around if they're good players, unless they've just fallen off a cliff or whatever, or had a role change. But the ones So instead of focusing on a name, just getting the best value at the latest possible time, I think that's a really good strategy. Like, I think right now is a really good time to go after a Yo or a Ross. These guys will turn it around, or a Cade Simpson, I got no doubt. But maybe Cade Simpson's different because he's older and all that sort of thing, but it's just natural variance. It just happens.
Another one probably to add to that list, Steve, Ollie Wines. I mean, so he's come back this week, had a pretty, you know, average first game back, but he already would have been a massive slider in most drafts because of the shoulder injury. So imagine if he, you know, if he's one that bounces back, you could probably get him cheaper than what he was drafted, which was already a bargain.
Oh, I actually, see, I'll not to be a dick, but I'll say the other side on that. No, I think you make a good point, but the thing about that is, if you drafted Ollie Wines, you drafted him knowing you were going to have to hold him. So just because he had a bad first half game, I'm not sure there'll be panic stations unless some of their other guys are really struggling and you throw out a pretty handy offer. So that, and I mean, that's going to be different league to league, but that would be my take on it.
Yeah, good point.
Would Dunkley is the most interesting to me. Is he a buy low candidate now, or are you going to be getting what you pay for at the moment? Like, because his role is seemingly there-ish. Like, what are we making of Dunkley at the moment? I just want to know whether you guys think he's an interesting target to trade for, or what do people do if they've drafted him? Like, what is the go with Dunkley? Steve, have you got a strong take there?
Oh, yeah, I do, actually, because I have Dunkley in our home league. So my strong take would be I wouldn't buy him. I would assume his scores are just down a fraction because they've got added competition in the midfield room. We've seen Tom Liberatore finally get his fantastic role that he should be playing back, and he's chewing up a lot of numbers. Bont spending more time in there this year, chewing up a lot of numbers. Even Mitch Wallace is getting some good play in there, chewing up a lot of numbers. So not everyone can score well. I actually think he's scoring pretty well given the state of the team. I'm not selling him because I think he's, like I said, he's still scoring well. So
look, he's a forward, not a pure mid. So what's he? I think he pumped at 85s this weekend. So as a forward, still a pretty handy score.
If someone wants to come at me with a good offer, like, I will take it. But I'm pretty happy to sit on him as a, you know, like, if he averages 85, that's still what, an F2 at the end of the year. It's on that fringe. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Is there any other names you want to throw out there? Any other final thoughts before we finish off here, guys?
All good.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.